Take a Bible and turn to the book of 1 Samuel chapter 3. This story is about the call of Samuel, and we'll get to see how it is that in a time in which God was relatively inactive within Israel, at least as they perceived it, yet God was still working, and still, despite what appeared to be silence around the people, God still spoke to his people. He brought wisdom in. He called Samuel to be raised up as someone who would serve him. And one of the contrasts that we're going to look at this morning is the contrast between Eli, who should have been the one to be leading Israel, and Samuel. I'm going to read the entirety of chapter 3. The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. One night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the house of the Lord, where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel. Samuel answered, "Here I am." And he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." But Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." So he went and lay down. Again the Lord called Samuel. And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." "My son," Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. So a third time the Lord called Samuel. And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am. You called me." Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy, and he told Samuel, "Go and lie down, and if he calls you, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. The Lord came and stood there, calling as at the other times, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." And the Lord said to Samuel, "See, I am about to do something in Israel that will make the ears of everyone who hears about it tingle. At that time I will carry out against Eli everything I spoke against his family from beginning to end. For I told him that I would judge his family forever because of the sin he knew about. His sons blasphemed God, and he failed to restrain them. Therefore, I swore to the house of Eli, the guilt of Eli's house will never be atoned for by sacrifice or offering." So Samuel lay down until morning and then opened the doors of the house of the Lord. He was afraid to tell Eli the vision, but Eli called him and said, "Samuel, my son." Samuel answered, "Here I am." "What was it he said to you?" Eli asked. "Do not hide it from me. May God deal with you, be it ever so severely, if you hide from me anything he told you." So Samuel told him everything, hiding nothing from him. Then Eli said, "He is the Lord. Let him do what is good in his eyes." The Lord was with Samuel as he grew up, and he let none of Samuel's words fall to the ground. And all Israel, from Dan to Beersheba, recognized that Samuel was attested as a prophet of the Lord. The Lord continued to appear at Shiloh, and there he revealed himself to Samuel through his word. And Samuel's word came to all Israel. Let's pray. Thank you, God, that we have at this time your word before us. Thank you that we have the ability to open your word, to read it, to meditate on it, to listen to your voice as you reveal it to us through your word. Father, I pray that we would each think about our own lives today and the ways that you are calling us to greater faithfulness, the ways that you are calling us to renounce sin and to live for you. Father, help us to see in Samuel's call something of our own calls, that you are not looking for us to sit by passively in our lives, but you are calling us to listen to you and to live for you in obedience. Father, we know that Samuel did this. We also know that a prophet who came much later than him did the same thing. And as we think about the life of Jesus, as we think about the call that you placed into his life and the obedience that he lived as it took him towards death on a cross. We're thankful, Father, that Jesus was humble and willing to be obedient on our behalf. And Father, I thank you that we have his example and his teaching. I'm thankful for his death and his resurrection. And Father, as we think about the forgiveness of sins that we have through him, the gift of the Holy Spirit that comes because of his sacrifice and resurrection, I pray that you would help us to realize that you have given us everything that we need to hear your voice and to live for you. Father, I pray that you would strengthen us, strengthen our faith, give us the encouragement and the grace and the strength that we need to live daily for you. We offer this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. A few years back, I realized that I had a book on my shelf that I had never read, which is not really anything unusual for me, but I pulled it down off the shelf, and it was a book by an author some of you may have heard of. His name is Dallas Willard, and it was a book called Listening to God. And I was looking at the book and couldn't remember why I had bought it, but I had realized I had read it, so I started looking through it and realized that some of the things he was talking about were some things that I had learned, and I tried to read the book, but then he started talking about some things when it comes to listening to God that I was not really sure about. So I shut the book, put it back on the shelf so I wouldn't have to worry about thinking about anything like that. This past week, I was reading a magazine that I received, and in there was a book review about a popular devotional book. And I was disappointed as I read the review because the writers of the review had interviewed some people that they knew would be critical of the book. And so the book, although it was being used by many and was beneficial for many people, it sold millions of copies. Yet at the same time, this prominent magazine was choosing to be critical towards this book. The whole premise of the book was using scripture to hear God's voice so that you might be able to live better. But because the book was written by someone that wasn't a professional scholar, these professional scholars were very critical of the book, and I was disappointed. But I think that those two examples highlight for us the tension that comes when we think about how it is that we hear or listen to God's voice. How is it that God's voice comes to us? How do we discern his voice? How do we listen to his call? How do we understand when God is the one who is speaking to us? In various sermons, I've shared my own journey of faith, how I've moved from a place where I thought that the whole goal of Christianity was just to acquire knowledge and to know more and more about the Bible, and that God basically wanted us to just be moral people who had a lot of knowledge about the Bible. But I realized how faulty that view is, that it knocks out of the way any kind of a relationship with him where growth is involved, and that the purpose of his sending Jesus to die for our sins and give us the gift of the Holy Spirit meant that so much more was involved. And I began reading the Bible rather than these other things about the Bible. And as I read the Bible more and more, I began to see that God is continuously calling us forward. Not to live static lives that hang around in the background, acquiring knowledge and facts and different things that become empty because we don't do anything with that knowledge, but God is calling us to take the things that we learn, to take the Bible knowledge that we gain, and translate that into conversion and transformation in our lives so that we can go out and live for him, so that our lives can be changed, and then as our lives are changed, the lives of the people around us will be changed as well. How could they not be when they see the good things happening in our lives as a result? They see habits and patterns of sin being removed as God transforms us because we listen to his call in our lives. They see people that used to be angry or liars or greedy people now becoming much more gentle and more dependent on God and learning to live in trust. And they see these changes happening. And these changes happen not because we acquire information, but because we allow God through his call in our lives to change and transform us. And so the challenge or the goal of Christianity, we might say, is to learn to patiently and expectantly listen to God. And some simple ways that this happens that I think are pretty standard are that we hear God's voice in the church through other people as they teach the Bible, or as they preach the good news, or as they make a statement about Scripture that just happens to connect with your life where you're at in that moment. In Scripture, we hear the voice of God as God reveals His Word to us as we read or have it taught to us. And then obviously in prayer, as we speak to God, but also allow the space for Him to speak back into our lives. We try to hear God's voice in many different circumstances. And for some of us, we want to know how best to be used for God. And we think about, where is God leading me to work? What kind of a career or field does God want me involved in? And we try to listen for His voice. We try to listen for His leading so that we are led into that sphere in which God wants us to be. Sometimes we wonder what God's leading is as it relates to where we would live, where we could be a good thing for God, where we might impact others with the good news by how we live. And so we look for God's leading in where to live, or what to do with our free time, what kind of associations or groups we might join where God could use us to accomplish things for Him. Others try to understand God's will in less likely ways. They listen to His voice or for His voice in ways in which He's probably not speaking, in political agendas and programs, or in justifying behaviors and attitudes that basically allow us to be against our neighbors rather than love them. And so we can try to listen to God's voice, we can try to hear His call, but God is always calling us forward, not to move back and not to move into ways which would clearly be against His word. And so churches try to hear God's call. And when churches try to understand what God's call is, we listen for that in terms of ways that we might serve other people, in terms of ministries that we might form that might have a benefit for church members or people outside the church, or in ways in which we might best serve the people that cross our paths. And yet, despite all this listening, we still struggle at times, if not most or all of the time, with actually hearing God's voice. Hearing that call, hearing that voice is something that probably very few of us here today would say that's common, that's simple, it's clear. So why do we struggle with that? Why do we have a difficult time discerning God's voice when we have His word before us, when we have the ability to communicate with Him through prayer, when we have the accumulated wisdom of the people of God in the church? Why is it that we struggle to hear God's voice? The reading this morning in 1 Samuel chapter 3 gives us a clue, and that clue is found in the person of Eli. The problem is sin. Sin confuses us. Sin blinds us. Sin does not allow us to have the spiritual vision and the spiritual perception that we need to hear God. We see this in the person of Eli. At the end of the chapter, when Samuel makes himself available to hear God's word, and when that word comes to him, the word that is given is a word of judgment upon the house of Eli. It is not a way forward for Samuel at that point. It is, but it's not clear that it's a way forward at that point. But for God's people to be able to move forward, what they needed at that time was that message of judgment to come to the house of Eli. Eli was a priest. He allowed his sons to serve as priests, and they basically went wild. They did whatever they wanted, whenever they wanted, with the things of God, and they were disgraces to the office, to the people, and to God Himself, while Eli sat back and did nothing. And we see at the beginning of the chapter, there's a statement made about Eli. It's a biological statement, but it actually stands in for so much more. And we're told in verse 2 that Eli had eyes that were becoming so weak that he could barely see. And what we're to learn about Eli in that regard is not only that he couldn't see physically, but also that he couldn't see spiritually. He had lost the spiritual vision that he needed to be able to discern and hear the voice of God, and it's why he sat by idly while his sons wrecked everything that God had asked them to do. Eli's physical blindness represents the spiritual blindness with which he had been neglecting his leadership of Israel. In contrast, we see that Samuel is asleep near the burning lamp of God. You can see that in verse 3. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the house of the Lord where the ark was. Eli couldn't see, and he's nowhere near this lamp of God. Samuel was so young, didn't have the experience of hearing the voice of God, and yet he's the one asleep in the place of God near the lamp so that he'll be able to see with vision the things that he needs to see to be able to lead God's people. Samuel and not Eli had the spiritual capacity that was needed to see God and to hear his voice. The first thing that we can see in this passage is that God's call becomes clear when we clean our own houses of sin and become a servant before God. The reason that Eli could not hear God and lead the people of God forward is because his house was so ruined by sin, by unrepentant sin, that there was no room in his life to be able to hear the voice of God. And sometimes we find a similar thing in our own lives. That we want to do what's right. We want to hear the voice of God. We want to hear his call in our lives. Yet at the same time, we know that there is so much unrepentant sin in our lives that there is just no room for God. We don't have the vision or the capacity for God to speak into our lives, because we have cluttered up our lives with so much garbage and junk that there is literally no room for God. But we also see in the example of Samuel that he was not able to hear God's call at first. He heard it, but he couldn't perceive it. And God spoke to him four times before he got it. Each of the times that he heard God call his name, he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am." And you can almost get the sense in the text as we were reading it there, Eli's getting annoyed. This guy's trying to sleep, and here comes this young kid three times waking him up saying, "Did you call me?" And each time, "I didn't call you." He's trying to sleep. Samuel's out there struggling with trying to hear God, trying to make sense about this mysterious call of his name that's coming to him at night, and he has no help from the established priest, Eli, because Eli is too busy to sleep. And the culture around Samuel was not receptive to hearing visions or messages from God. The narrator lets us know that in verse 1 when he says, "In those days the word of the Lord was rare, there were not many visions." He wasn't accustomed to hearing God. He had been raised in a culture in which hearing from God was rare. And he had been raised in an immediate culture in which no thought about God was given, because Eli said, "Anything goes." And he just did whatever he wanted, and with his sons, wherever they wanted, in any way that they could do to offend God. And this is why the message that Samuel finally received, when he received it, was a message first of judgment against Eli's house. But the important thing to see, more so than the message of judgment that came, was how Samuel was able to open himself to hear the message. He heard the voice of God because he finally had the spiritual vision, the spiritual capacity to respond to the Lord and to obey. The interesting thing is that it was Eli who pointed him in the right direction. Eli himself was not able to hear the voice of God, but he at least had the tradition with which to point Samuel in the right direction. And when he realized after being woken up for the third time that it was actually God who was speaking, not Eli, but God was legitimately calling Samuel, he told him what to do. And even though Eli wasn't able to hear that voice himself, he sent Samuel back and he said, "The next time you hear your name, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" And he gave Samuel the posture, the spiritual posture, and the humility that he needed to be able to hear the voice of God. That when that call came, and as Samuel expectantly waited to hear that call again, He did it with an attitude of a servant. He did it with an attitude of someone who was submitting himself to someone greater. And when that call came, he said, "Speak, Lord, your servant is listening." Eli only knew the words to say, not the attitude to have, because he had compromised his faith through disobedience. But Samuel, on the path of obedience, learned the words to say and the attitude and posture to have, and he was the one that was able to hear God's voice. And so we find through Samuel's story these different ways that we can hear God's voice in the Bible. And the first way is to actually hear God's voice in the Bible, in God's own words. And this is represented in the story of Samuel through the priestly and prophetic traditions that we see in Eli and Samuel. They didn't have a word of God to consult. They heard the word of God come to them. Eli wasn't able to, although he was in the priestly role, he should have been the one to hear God, but he wasn't able to. Samuel, establishing himself in the line of the prophets, was able to hear God's word and respond to it and obey to it. We hear God's voice in the Bible. We also hear God's voice in the church. This was represented in this story through Eli, who, although he was not the one to hear the call, was still able to point Samuel in the right direction. He had the wisdom to understand what was happening, even though he wasn't the one receiving the call, and he could show Samuel and tell him what it was that he needed to do. Likewise, in the church today, whether it's through teachers, preachers, elders, whoever it might be, the wisdom exists to hear the voice of God if people are obedient and practicing humility, and if people are receptive to hear. And then through Samuel, we learn that we also hear God's voice in prayer. That when we go before God with openness and humility and reverence, when we can place ourselves before God to say, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening," we will hear the voice of God, and then we have to respond and obey. God calls us. Those with spiritual perception hear him and obey. If we don't ever hear the voice of God, maybe we need to take stock of our lives and remove the sin from our lives that blocks us from being a servant who is able to hear the Lord speak. The problem with sin is that sin is idolatry. When we sin, we live for ourselves. This is the problem with Eli. He wanted to live for himself. He didn't want to discipline his sons. He didn't want to speak into their lives to bring correction, and so it led to his corruption as well. But as we see with Samuel, living as a servant, placing ourselves before God in the role of a servant to hear from him, is a life that is lived for others. We tune in to God when we give up our own agendas for his, and when we live for others and for him above ourselves. This is the life that we seek when we take Samuel as our example rather than Eli. When we decide that listening for God's leading and then obeying him and following that leading is the goal that we will take, we follow Samuel's example and we take on that posture of servanthood. How are some ways that we might try to become better listeners for the voice of God? I've already discussed some of these in a general way, but more specifically, we might look at the area itself of Bible reading and meditating upon the Word of God. Not just reading the Bible to accumulate knowledge, but reading it to understand the message that is there and to let that message come right into our lives, to take root in our hearts where it grows and flourishes and knocks out the garbage that might be in the way because we've allowed room for God to come into our lives through his word. We might also look at daily prayer. Daily prayer. Not just prayer, you know, at the end of the night where we want to knock out a couple of quick things that were on our mind but we didn't have the time, couldn't be bothered to get to earlier. But daily prayer where we take time to speak to God and to be with him. Where we give thanks for the things that he's done in our lives, where we praise him for the things that happen around us, where we go before him with trust by relying on him to meet our needs, where we ask for forgiveness, we confess our sins to him, we acknowledge that we have been people that have tried to live for ourselves rather than for God. Daily prayer where we go before God. Serving others is another tool that will help us listen to God, because when we serve others, we place somebody else's needs ahead of ours. And in doing so, we learn what humility is and how through that we can become better listeners. All these things help us connect to God, to hear his voice, and then when we hear that call, we go out to serve. We go out to serve him. Samuel grew up with God, the end of this passage tells us. And God continued to work through him. God continued to confirm through Samuel that Samuel was the person that God was speaking through. Samuel continued to hear the voice of God and to be obedient to that. And so when we think about Samuel's example and some of the things we've talked about, we're left with the Bible, with people, with prayer. And maybe some questions for us to ask. Some of those questions being, how are you doing with listening to God in the Bible? If we leave our Bibles in the church building all week long, or in the trunk of our car, or on a shelf in our closets, we're not going to be able to hear the voice of God as he speaks to us. We can open the thing up and read it to gain information, or just to knock out a prescribed amount of pages per day or chapters per week or whatever, and we're probably not going to hear God's voice. But if we open his word and we seek to listen to him, even though we struggle with it, God will reward those who put in the effort to discern his voice as he gives it to us in Scripture. Some of us may plow through a good deal of material in the Bible, hearing God's voice, and others of us may struggle with a paragraph or half a chapter or whatever the case may be. We're not talking about quantity, but quality. Opening the Bible to understand God's message and to hear his voice. Here's another question. Who is a wise voice around you that may be here today who can provide insight into your life, who can provide spiritual insight into your life? Who is there that God may use to speak his words to you? If we're never thinking about that or viewing people in that way, we may be missing a whole lot of what God has to say to us. The reverse of that is to ask, who might God use for you to speak into their life? And will you have the capacity to do that if that call comes? What are your habits in prayer? Is prayer something that you just tack on at the end of the night or maybe at a couple of meals? Or is prayer something where you understand the communion that exists between you and God and you spend time regularly with God, even if it's just to be with him? Imagine if 25% of us here this morning decided to commit to those three practices in a very serious way. Regular Bible reading to hear God's voice, regular times of being with other believers to share with them and to have them share with you, and daily prayer with God. How would your life be different? How would the life of this church be different? How might the voice of God come to us so that we can hear him and become faithful servants of his in this church and in this community, and maybe going even further than that, because we've taken seriously his call to hear his voice and to obey? But if you took that call seriously, how might your life change? What things would have to go? What new things would have to come in? God calls us. He always calls us. The question for us is, are we able to hear him? And when we hear him, what will we do? If you are here this morning and need to respond to God in whatever form, we encourage you to do so at this time as we stand and sing.